Well, I'll tell you, it's a double of a week since I last talked to you. Horrendous, I hate to even think about it. Well, I'll start off first. Got a new company commander. Name is Captain Hotel. H-O-T-T-E-L-L. However, that name was soon dropped to Captain Rock after one of our hard-nosed sergeants we've got here. Captain's a West Pointer, Ranger, Airborne. And I don't know if you know much about the West Point system, but when you enter your first year, you're a plebe. And as a plebe, as a lower classman, you're given a senior classman that's supposed to be your big brother, you know, looks after you. I mean, you get off any easier, it just means somebody has a gold cry on your shoulder. So it turns out this guy's dyke was Colonel Kingston. Well, Colonel Kingston's our brigade commander, so needless to say, this guy is not worried about anything that happens in this battalion. Well, he's a very strong personality. So I guess he already decided he'd won the war before he got over here, but first day I met him, he came in and he didn't even know if he was going to have my company or not, but he told me how I wanted it run. I just sat back and listened and nodded, you know, and listened to a few of his comments and made a few suggestions just as mild manner as I could, saying that I thought that, you know, for the first couple days out in the company, he just should sit back and look at the operation, see what he found wrong, see what he liked. Let a few of the NCOs and the officers express their opinions on how they like things to be run. And then make a judgment and go ahead and act on his own decisions. And he said, well, he didn't need any of that crap. He knew what was going on. He could get along with anybody. And I said, oh, okay. Drive on, hardcore. The biggest thing he decided was that he didn't like log. Well, you know, as you know, what we call log is the resupply system. And since we get logged every day. Well, explain why later. We get logged every day now. Well, he decided he only wanted log every 3 or 4 days, whether he needed it or not. Now, the way we travel with everything we own on our backs. And every day, I don't care who you are, what you do, how great a trooper you are, you drink 4 to 5 to 6 canteens of water a day, especially as it's here, as it's been so hot and everything. You know, around 120 degrees in the afternoon, you don't travel fast if you travel at all, and you really cool it, and you drink a lot of water. Well, our new captain informed me that, well, he didn't need any water. He'd been with the 82nd Airborne for 9 months as a company commander, and he could do it with a canteen of water a day. I tried to explain to him that he was out of his mind in very polite terms, of course. And he said, I don't need any water. One canteen is all I need. I said, okay, sir. So we issued him one canteen back here from the supply room. And off he went. So yesterday I went to Foot's Inn, we're operating out of now, and visit him in the battalion aid station. Since he got heat exhaustion, he didn't have enough water. I didn't rub it in too bad. I just hinted, well, I'm glad he'd found out what the score was. Well, I was talking about this log. If you don't get it every day, in other words, if you weren't going to get logged for 3 days, you'd need water for 3 days. In other words, not 4 or 5 canteens, but 12 or 15 canteens. I think he's taking log a little serious. That also means you don't get any hot chow for 3 days, and you have to hump that many sea rations to make up for it. In other words, instead of carrying 1 day's seas, which is about 4 pounds, you'd be carrying anywhere from 12 to 15 to 18 pounds of sea rations, and it's quite bulky, of course. Buddy, he's hardcore. I guess he only needs one sea ration a day, which is about 1,500 calories. So, well, been doing a lot of paperwork, been traveling all over God's half acre here. Got a couple of real bad eggs, and they're trying to get rid of them. Give them a 212, which is a dishonorable discharge for unsuitability in the Army. Guy tried to shoot my supply sergeant about a week and a half ago. It's an AWOL, smokes pot, insubordination. You name it, he does it. So I had to get the information for him. That's one section. It's our personnel section. Messed up and didn't get the information, so I ended up going to Foot's Inn, then the Saigon, then the Benoit, and then the ANK. Took me a few days. Finally get back to find out that someone else has screwed up on another court-martial we were working on, so now I've got to go all again. So it's a big kicker, was. I don't even like to think about this. The night I left, we got mortared here. And it was a small mortar tank. They weren't using big mortars. They were using 60 millimeters as compared to the normal 82 millimeter or 107 rockets or 122 rockets. They're pretty close, and they fired in these 60 mortars. About 20 rounds, and one round landed right on top of our orderly room. Crashed right through and started the whole place burning. Luckily, no one got hurt. Everybody had... The first few rounds had gotten everybody out of their bunkers, and this round hit after that, and everybody's in the bunker. Nobody got hurt, but fairly well destroyed the supply room, plus my safe where I keep all my records. Especially records on these men I'm trying to hurt. Of course, all the records got destroyed. I couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it. I tried to, as soon as I got in today, he drove me straight to my hooch and gave me a cold beer and said, well, you better rest for the afternoon, sir. They're still trying to rebuild the damn place. So I heard all this hammering and sawing, furious. Went over to see what was going on and noticed what was left of my supply room, in my early room. I got your tape. Just listened to it tonight. I sure enjoyed that. Dad talking to me. These tapes, they're sure nice. Glad to hear you had a good trip. Hope you get to see Aunt Marge and Uncle Dick. I got a package from them today with popcorn and all sorts of goodies in it. That sure was appreciated. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. I don't know if it's coming through or not. Got a 40 millimeter duster working out there and some apparently dukes outside the perimeter. This place, everybody gets sort of immune to this stuff, but scares the hell out of you if you don't know what's going on. Got a package from Mom the other day, and the popcorn and the Sterno and the pens and the M&Ms and everything else you had in there. That's really fantastic. I love that stuff. That's about the only thing we can't get here, stuff like popcorn and that type of candy. Well, I get a sweet tooth sometimes and enjoy those things. Right now, I'm just sitting in my hooch. Real hot outside. The hooch I'm in is right off the log pad. The battalion rear ear has a log pad. Logistical pad, what we call it. A pad is, of course, a landing. Little landing, a square that's made into a landing. Here they go again. I don't know if you can hear that stuff. They got a little square out here that they put soil thickener on, and they've made it so the helicopters can land out here. But it's only made for small helicopters, these Chewies, we call them. They just have one rotor, and it's a log plane. But since the battalion's moved again to another LZ, it's the biggest thing in. They're working off the LZ, so they need bigger supply planes to go, so they're having big Chinooks. Chinook is a big double-blade thing that's rather large, about 40 foot long, and kicks up a dust storm that's going out of style, so as a result, everything is just filthy. There's about a half inch of dust everywhere you go. It's not dust, it's dirt. Really wild. Really kicked it up today. Went out to the company, finally paid off my last platoon and turned in my pay. Luckily, there's not much action going off there, so didn't have to worry about the any action while I was out there, at least. Went to visit my lieutenant that took over my platoon and the six other men that got wounded. They're in pretty bad shape. Real bad shape. Got a bunch of chest wounds. The man, lieutenant, died, of course, but one of the other men died. He had a serious head injury. Apparently, the units the tracks they're operating with is a mechanized unit they're operating with for a while. They got 8 or 10 killed and 20 or 30 wounded. However, they got 80 or 90 goose in the process, cleared out a bunker complex, and I just still can't understand the American life being given for it. These guys just don't seem like they're worth it. They don't need us over here anymore. I hope they take them up on it and just get us out. I doubt it'll happen. Please thank Aunt Marge and Uncle Dick for the package they sent me, as I thank you, Mom, for sending me the package. Really like that. I haven't been able to see Andy lately. I just wanted to stop in, but I've been in such a rush, it's been unreal. By the way, I have some more slides coming on the way. Another roll. This is the Ektachrome slides. I've got some down in Benoit on the PX the other day. I got some real high-speed film. It's 160 ASA. I hope I can use it better, because a lot of my best shots is firefights or anything else, you know, is taking it when it's in the dusk. Maybe it'll feel better, make better slides because of it. Roughing to tape. On my tape recorder, I can record any three speeds, 1 7/8, 3 3/4, or 7 1/2. This one's recorded, of course, on 3 3/4. It's a real good tape recorder, but your tapes are coming in very weak. I can understand it, I can hear it. I got a special amplifier on it, but if I play it normally, I can't hear it right. I think you're going to have to, you can record it on any speed, but just when you, you know, tape the first minute or so, stop and go back and listen to it and see what happens, see how loud it is. You might have to adjust your volume accordingly. Either turn your volume way up, or if you don't turn your volume way up, play it on a faster speed, such as 7 1/2, and it'll record louder. That'll help things a lot. I can still understand you, they say, but it'd be nicer if it was a little louder. And, of course, you can record on any speed you want. Went down to Benoit a couple days ago, and Benoit is now the new CAV headquarters. And people B-rotes, in other words, rotate out of Vietnam back to the United States there. I met a bunch of my men that just left here, but they're down there partying. Got down there, a couple old sergeants, E-7s, E-8s, first sergeants, you know, sergeant first class. They proceeded to take me over to one of these clubs. I'd finished up all the administrative business, and I couldn't get a plane out, so I decided, what the heck, I might as well. So he said, well, you just don't worry about it. You put $5 up and we'll drink the rest of the evening. And I said, okay. What they do is they had this little barge roll thing, so you put a drink ahead of you. You start off with 2 drinks, and before you could finish 1 drink, you'd do what he'd call it do. You'd say, pop smoke. Well, to this little Vietnamese girl, pop smoke means bring another drink. Of course, everybody got to telling war stories, and the big thing was that keep everybody drinking as fast and furiously as they could. Not only do that, but when they'd done this sufficiently, they'd try to conjure somebody and make somebody say, pop smoke. And of course, this little girl was listening to this, pop smoke, you know. They managed to get me wiped out. The only problem was, everybody would stagger out of the place. As in the middle of a post, I didn't know where I was. I'd gotten lost in the crowd somewhere. I'd never found my way back. Luckily, I did. I don't know if this tape is running out or not. Looks like it's getting low. This admin life back here is too much. Between the paper and every work and everything, you almost feel like you'd rather be out in the field. I'll never get quite that close, but it's not as good as it could be. Haven't gotten rid of pig iron yet. Went downtown the day that we got shelled and rocketed here. Things are pretty tense. I don't know if I told you about that, but never got through the city. There's shells laying all over the city, you know, these explosive big ammo dump went up, and I guess the papers hit it up pretty bad, wasn't all that bad. It was sort of funny though, getting back to the rear and then getting attacked here. Well, I hope to get rid of that pig iron pretty soon. We got another dog, a dog to take over her spot as the company mascot, because somebody's authorized dog or animal of some sort. Why we had to have a pig, I'll never know, but I guess our code name pig iron sort of validates the whole thing. Well, I think this tape's just about out. We'll turn it on the other side.
This message was taped April 24, 1969, and tied in by First Lieutenant David L. Wheeler, Executive Officer, Company B, 1st Battalion, 8th Cavalry, 1st Brigade, 1st Cavalry, Air Mobile. It is the fourth tape he sent to his parents in Arlington, Virginia. All in all, he sent back seven tapes, the last one from Quan Loy in late June 1969. He arrived back in the United States before the end of August 1969. During his year in Vietnam, at just below the DMZ and in the Tay Ninh area, he received three Purple Hearts.
Back again. I really do learn a lot here about people in this war. Of course, many things tolerated over here that would never be tolerated back in the world. Theft is one thing. I'm not talking about stealing money or stealing someone's personal property, but misappropriation of government-owned goods. In other words, if we don't have something that we really need, it's just obvious there's only one way to get it. If you can't get it through normal supply channels, you get it otherwise. Many ways to do it, but like out at Hook's Inn, we mess hall just set up there, and we're working out of a base camp, or at least a forward fire base is supporting this base camp for about 3 weeks for a Y&R form, and they need some mermite. Well, a mermite is a great big oblong or rectangle-shaped can that you can store hot or cold stuff in. It's like a great big ice box, literal ice box. And when you didn't have enough, and what we do is for these mermites, we ship hot chow to the field in it. Need about six or eight mermites per company. Well, they'd lost all their mermites in the move from Alfie White to Hook's Inn. So the mess sergeant got smart, you know, and he told all my five mites, these are my forward supply people. We need mermites. For every mermite you get, we'll give you a free pizza. He had all the goods to make pizza, pepperoni, cheese, all stuff, you know. Well, before the night was over, by about midnight, he owed 31 pizzas to all the five mics for all the companies. More were coming. I doubt if he can pay off all the stuff. I learned a lot about personalities and how a man will react under strain. Some of these real hard troopers, some of the guys that have been in the Army for 20, 25 years, you know, that really think they're going to make it, get out there in a firefight. Let's say you've been walking along and bamboo, crawling along is more like it. You're tired, it's about 4 in the afternoon, you're hot, you're thirsty, maybe you've run out of water or not, and all of a sudden you get hit. You might get sniper fire, you might get grenades thrown at you, claymores blown on you. RPGs, this is a rocket propelled grenade, you know, anything can happen to you. That's when your leaders take over. You're under fire, your men aren't doing anything except getting down on the ground, you gotta get them to fire back. Sometimes you got to get up, go up and lead a man and show him what you have to be done to get him a fire. You got to fire yourself, maybe. Some of these guys, you're right up at the front, maybe at the tail end of your formation gets ambushed and you don't hear any firing coming back. Guys are, well, they're not cowards, they're just afraid. Fear can do a lot of things. Maybe they'll just sit there, watch it, not do a thing. with their fear is so ingrained in them, so controlling them, that they won't do anything. They need a shock of some sort. That's why it gets tense for a lieutenant. He's got to go out and make them fire, or lead them. Charge a bunker, you know, in the old heroic way, you know, it's crazy. That'd be crazy to have to do that stuff. Your NCOs don't support you. Well, what I'm getting at is just you get to know people, how to react to different people. The guy that talks up the big war story back at the mess hall at the club might get out there and do a thing. An awful lot of guys here get awards for things they're never meant to. Dollar awards, big staff men are right around in their helicopters, you know, putting themselves in for Bronze Stars and Z device, that's a Valor's device. Silver Stars, Distinguished Service Cross, all this kind of crap. Having never done anything. That's when you learn some of these quiet guys, some of these quiet farm boys, some of these city guys that have been on a gang or something. These guys pull through, these guys are hard. They're dumb, one or the other. I like to think they're hard. They've learned to live with their own fear. But yet, I know some of these guys are going to, some of these best soldiers I have, when you let them out of the field, they're going to mess up. They're going to cause a problem somewhere. They're going to hurt somebody. Not in the field. In the field, you'd follow them to hell and back. You respect them for their courage. Yet I don't know what they're going to do in civilian life. They stay with the Army, kind of when they'll be demoted once they get home. It's strange, real strange. And I could be able to do something for the guys. Just got a letter today, a return letter. I got a letter from a mother whose son had been killed. He got killed while he was sleeping. I got a direct hit from a 107mm recoilless rifle round. It's a rocket. If you want to know how his son had died, I guess I told you about this before. And I wrote back and I lied. I said, you got to make these people feel better. And so I said, his son had been up and running around and trying to get everybody awake when it happened. Said he'd done a very heroic thing. He'd only been here a week. He'd been in RTO for about a week. So I wrote to her and I said, you know, your son had done a very courageous act and all this kind of baloney. I got a letter back from her. Said that she was very pleased that she'd gotten a letter. Quite sure that her son had done something heroic, and she was glad to be told about it. They settled their minds, the family's minds. So glad to hear that. Problem is in the whole system. You know, if a guy dies, he might be a debtor, he might be good, but they always write home that he'll be a real loss to the unit and all this kind of stuff. They have a regular form letter they send home. I'd get the same letter if I got killed, something along that order. Doesn't explain anything that really happened to the kid. It doesn't say whether he's good or bad or deserved anything. And in other words, all these people whose parents have sons that died over here, they're misled into thinking that they died valorously for a good cause. And in fact, I don't know whether it's a good cause or not. Sort of a farce.